This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Last month, the state legislature finally passed the next biennial budget. More than 2 months late, the plan will lay out the next 2 years of spending for transportation, K-12 education, and more. Later in the program, we'll hear from local Democrats about their take on the state budget. Joining us now to provide a Republican perspective on the spending plan is Representative Craig Pronchinsky from Mondovi. And Representative Pronchinsky, what do you think will have the biggest impact on our region from the budget? Is there a particular item?
Well, I think there's two items that are a rather large impact to Western Wisconsin. And I think first and foremost is the K-12 funding. Over $650 million is going to be funneled into our schools. And I think that that's very important moving forward with our state. And the other is getting more local transportation aids to the municipalities. I think that in Western Wisconsin, that is something that's very important to have infrastructure so we can be very successful.
The budget includes borrowing for transportation funding, but, you know, there's been a lot of talk that there aren't a lot of long-term solutions for transportation funding. I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that, you know, if someone asked me, what could we have done better in the transportation or in the budget? I think transportation is one thing that we could do better, but we're headed in the right direction. And my take on it is we are headed in the right direction. Can we get better? Absolutely. Some of the ideas that I think we need to take a look at is tolling and also possibly sales tax in municipalities. But definitely we need to get better in our transportation moving forward. But with this budget, we are headed in that direction.
What do you think were the biggest roadblocks, maybe for lack of a better term, for the legislature to coming up with a long-term plan?
Well, I think that, you know, when you have 132 legislators, it's difficult to come together with an understanding that this is best for the entire state when we have rural and urban representatives. And that's a difficult thing to, you know, overcome in a short period of time. But I think the eyes are open of legislators that we need to come with a long-term solution. And as I campaigned on, we do need a long-term solution. And I think the biggest hurdle is we have urban Wisconsin and rural Wisconsin, and how we can mesh those two together and come to, I wouldn't necessarily say an agreement, but come to what's best for the entire state.
You mentioned kind of the urban versus rural road projects. You know, there did seem to be some borrowing for some major highway projects in southeastern Wisconsin. Do you think we'll see any benefits of that road funding in our area of the state?
Well, I will say this, in southeast Wisconsin, that is just a huge economic hub, and a lot of our goods come through that area. We need to have good infrastructure to distribute around our entire state, and I think it's important that we keep those hubs and those avenues open for lots of growth in industry and commercial growth in the southeast part of the state. It's very, very important, and that will affect rural areas as well.
Another big budget item this year was also funding for K-12 education. You know, we saw an increase of about $639 million. How will that impact schools in our part of the state?
Well, I think it's very important. You know, I talk about what we have in our classrooms in these school districts, which I represent, that are declining in enrollment. Getting more money to those schools, you know, even if they're declining in enrollment, they still have to have all the opportunities for each individual kid, whether it's a cafeteria or sports programs or you know, any extracurriculars as well. And face it, we live in an area in western Wisconsin where a lot of the districts are declining in enrollment. And I think this is a huge help for those districts. And I think that it's going to be great that it's going to our children, because that's our workforce in the future, getting the best out of our buck and directly at our children. I think that's just a wonderful thing.
Is there anything more that needs to be done when it comes to K-12 education? Was there any budget items that you wish maybe had come through for K-12 spending?
Well, I don't really have anything specific to talk about with that, but, you know, I think we always can do better, you know, looking to the next budget cycle. I think that's something that can be discussed amongst all legislators on what we can do better. My ears are definitely open talking with school districts across my particular district. And, you know, there's always going to be changes, and my ears are definitely open.
One part of the budget that was a bit controversial among some people was the elimination of professional development requirements for teachers, essentially kind of creating a lifetime education license for licensed teachers in this state. Is this a good change, do you think?
Well, I guess I don't really have too much of an opinion on that. You know, it's something that has gone through. I think it needs to be watched carefully. But, you know, I'm a guy of getting rid of red tape and you know, unnecessary avenues that have to be taken. But, you know, I think it could be a positive thing if we hold a high standard for our teachers and, you know, the school boards watch that very closely. And I think that it could be a positive thing, but definitely keep an eye on it.
Another issue when it comes to K-12 spending was a budget item that a new restriction that keeps school districts to only having referendums during regularly scheduled primaries and general elections. I wonder what your thoughts are on how this is going to impact school districts in western Wisconsin.
Well, I guess my take on that is we need to be efficient, and when we have special elections, it costs money for municipalities, whether it's townships, cities, across the state. And, you know, I think that if we see problems arise, we need to prepare for the regular scheduled primaries and generals. But there's definitely a mechanism that they can have a referendum. It's just not as often.
Also, was there anything that didn't make it into this budget that you you know, hope might be reconsidered in the future that could help this area?
Well, there's always improvements. You know, being this my first term, you know, I don't have anything specifically that, you know, I would love to have in the budget. But, you know, moving forward, preparing for the next budget cycle, I'm definitely looking to see what's best for my district as well as the entire state of Wisconsin. Like I said, the good thing is we have a budget cycle every 2 years, and it can be adjusted and you know, I guess roll with the punches, so to speak. And I'm pretty excited about, you know, where we're at, the direction we're going with the budget that just passed. And like I said, my ears are going to be open to hearing any changes that could be positive.
I wonder what your thoughts are on the Foxconn negotiations and incentive package that was passed during this whole budget cycle. Do you think we're going to see any benefits from this Foxconn deal in western Wisconsin?
Well, I think that there will be benefits across the state. And yes, I did vote for the Foxconn project. You know, there's a huge supply chain for Foxconn. Across the state, there's job opportunities. There's just great opportunities for long-term careers with this company coming in. And I look at it this way: we have a possibility of 13,000 jobs that are coming to the state of Wisconsin instead of a different state. And I think the majority of the people are pleased that jobs are coming to the state of Wisconsin rather than somewhere else. And that's something that is very important. But there again, the supply chain, I think, is just going to be unbelievable moving forward in the future. And to keep our door open for business in the state of Wisconsin is important. And western Wisconsin is open for business as well as the entire state.
Republican Representative Treg Pronchinsky from Mondovia is here with us today to talk about the local impacts of the newly signed state budget. Coming up, we'll hear from Democratic Representatives Jill Billings and Steve Doyle. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the recently signed 2017-2019 state budget. More than 2 months late, the state legislature finally passed the budget last month, from funding for roads and K-12 education to specialty projects like La Crosse Center. The spending plan will have a big impact on the next 2 years in the Cooley region. Before the break, we heard from a local Republican about his take on the budget. Joining us now to provide local Democrats' perspective on the plan are Representative Steve Doyle from Onalaska and Representative Jill Billings from La Crosse. Representative Billings, I hope that you can start the conversation by talking out some of the good things that came out of this year's budget session.
Sure. There are a couple of things that I was happy to see in the budget. There was some money for mental health for kids in schools, and I know that our school district was happy to see that, as was I. I also was happy to see the $5 million for the La Crosse Center. I know I had talked to the governor and people in the building commission and worked to make sure that that was included. And I know a lot of local people really worked hard and sent in letters and made calls to make sure that that was included until the very end. So that was a good thing.
And Representative Doyle, what were some good things that you feel like came out of this year's budget?
I agree. More funding for schools was really important. They'd really been taking it on the chin the last several budgets, and to finally get brought back a little bit, it was a step in the right direction. I always point out that spending money on schools isn't an expense. It's an investment. I mean, these are our kids. These are the people that are going to pay for us when we're in the nursing home. So, you know, we've got to get it right, and we can't shortchange our kids.
What do you think will have the biggest impact on our region, an item from the budget, whether that's positive or negative?
Well, in terms of negative things, I think clearly the failure to address the transportation issue. You know, La Crosse County, of which I'm a member of the county board, has gotten so desperate that we're looking at the possibility of a premier resort area tax. Not that we like to raise taxes, not that we want to do that, but the state just keeps not coming through. And you can't expect a highway system or a street system to hold together with Band-Aids. I mean, this was the perfect opportunity. There was money available. Everybody agreed transportation needed to be a priority. I mean, it was like the stars were finally aligning to deal with that issue, and they blew it again. I mean, that's just really disappointing. And, you know, if you look at it, not everybody gets, has kids in school. Not everybody, takes advantage of state parks. Not everybody takes advantage of some of the healthcare types of things that are in the budget. But everybody uses the roads. And that's, when you spend money or on taxes, you send it in and you say, what am I getting for my money? With transportation, at least you can see that you're getting a benefit. But we shortchange the people on that, and that's really unfortunate.
Representative Billings, what do you think will be the biggest impact from this next budget?
Well, I believe that the biggest impact is transportation. I mean, the Republicans have had all the marbles for the last 6 years, and it was very frustrating to see that they still could not come up with a reliable revenue stream for transportation. So their solution was to borrow over $400 million for transportation, and work on fewer projects. The zoo interchange was put off. There was an I-94 over in St. Croix County project that was put off, a Sauk County project that was put off. So also taking 200 DOT staff positions in the next 2 years and getting rid of those people. And along with a $75 annual registration fee for hybrid vehicles and a $100 fee for electric vehicles, that was the only revenue stream they could come in with, while failing to tax heavy trucks that operate on our highways. So it was transportation that we've had conversations and conversations about this. We've had study after study, and still they didn't have the political will to solve that issue.
As you mentioned, there were, a few highway projects that saw some cuts, and there was some borrowing for other projects, including an Interstate 94 project that was part of Foxconn negotiations. Representative Billings, was there anything that
has to do with roads in our part of the state. You know, did we really see any kind of funding or planning for our region?
Well, we know that locals have had a hard time the last 6 years being able to maintain all of our mileage of county roads because the state hasn't really come through with the funding that they should and that they need to. There are some county roads in certain areas of the state where they're actually ripping up the road and putting down gravel like it used to be in the old days and some other states. That, I think, is really not the answer. I mean, we've always prided ourselves on our roads, the quality of our roads, the fact that we had to get dairy to market. We've had a good system of roads. You know, certainly with tourism, it's been a boon for bikers who love, in our area, the topography that is those up and down, interesting, challenging hills and beautiful vistas. It feels like we're going backwards with borrowing more money, leaving that for the next generation. Our roads are deteriorating in worse condition than ever before. So we're leaving the next people with worse roads, plus we're leaving them with our debt. I don't think that that's something that sits well with most people in Wisconsin. I think they want the government to find a solution on this.
One of the items that were vetoed by Governor Scott Walker in the budget, and I want to talk more about other vetoes later, but you know, one item that has to do with transportation was a $2.5 million study on interstate tolling. You know, Representative Doyle, I wonder what your thoughts are on, you know, this veto, on the idea of tolling and what this means for kind of some of the long-term planning.
I agree with that veto. I don't think that Wisconsin really is well served by considering tolls. I hear that from my constituents loud and clear when I send out surveys. They are mixed on some of the other things, but they're pretty adamantly opposed to tolling. The other thing is we've already spent $1 million in this last biennium studying the issue of tolling. And what would you get for another $2.5 million? It's not like they're studying how to design them. It's just whether we should have it or not. I came up with the answer of that just by sending out a survey to my constituents who all said no. So I didn't even need $2.5 million more to figure that one out. We really need to figure out the transportation system some way other than that, whether it's looking at, you know, a modest gas tax increase or, you know, those kinds of alternatives that people find more palatable. But the getting rid of the study on tolling, whether that puts a, you know, nail in the coffin, I guess that remains to be seen.
As you mentioned earlier, there seemed like there was, you know, going to be some big picture decisions made at the start of this budget session, and there doesn't seem like there really was in the final budget. What do you think it's going to take to get us there, to get us to make some of those long-term decisions about transportation funding?
I think two things. One, I think some political courage and backbone, and secondly, less ideology. We saw a three-way fight. The Senate didn't like the Assembly. The Assembly didn't like the Senate. Back and forth, some of them didn't like the governor at some times and kind of liked him at other times. So it was just a chaos there, and nobody was willing to reach out and say, okay, well, I'm willing to give up a little bit to solve this problem, to have a long-term solution here. It was always, to use a really bad pun, my way or the highway, and we didn't get the highway as a result of that. So what we need is, you know, people in positions of leadership to say it's going to cost some money, which obviously it is, and it's going to take, you know, some courage to go out to the voters and say, here's what the money is going to go for, here's how we're going to solve this problem, we're going to start today, and it's not just going to be a one-shot thing, it's going to be a long-term solution. And then it's going to take sitting down and realizing that your approach isn't necessarily the only approach or the best approach. And if we work together and have multiple approaches, you know, maybe some modest registration increases, maybe some modest gas tax increases, you know, maybe some other revenue sorts, you know, and obviously, of course, wherever we can economize, we want to do that too. But there's not a silver bullet. And everybody in leadership seemed to think that their bullet was the only bullet that was the silver one, and it really just wasn't that way.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the local impacts of the next state budget. Earlier in the show, we heard from Republican Representative Treg Pronchinsky. We're here now with local Democratic Representatives Steve Doyle and Jill Billings. Representative Billings, I wonder what your thoughts are on, you know, what it's really going to take for us to move forward with, a long-term plan for transportation funding.
Well, when I talk to people in my district, I hear them talk about the problems that they're having with roads. Whether it's my friend who works at Black River Falls and said he lost the front end off of his car because the road is so bad as he's driving back and forth to work at Black River Falls, it's damaged his vehicle. And more people are talking about things like that. I talked to someone from Coca-Cola. Businesses are also experiencing that. They have to wrap their product a special way to get it in around certain parts of the county. So we know that you pay one way or you pay the other. And so I think it's important for people to weigh in with people in power and talk about their concerns. I was listening to the transportation debate with Wisconsin Counties Association, and a lot of people from the county who are really leaders in their local communities are having problems with this transportation budget. And I think it's important for them to talk to people in their community and for them to talk to their legislators, too.
Governor Scott Walker made 99 vetoes in this budget. And I wonder if, Representative Billings, if there's one item that you were maybe most disappointed about.
Well, I was disappointed in a few of the vetoes. One that I think affects our area was the historic tax credit. And our downtown is so beautiful. And we hit the top 10 of tourist counties this last year. I'm proud of that. I know that we're such a great area for people to visit. And a lot of people, when I talk to them, they say, you have such an incredible downtown. And part of that was from some of those historic tax credits that people could take advantage of and fix up buildings. And it was like a situation where somebody fixed up one building and then the next building, and then the next person would fix up their next building. And then other people came in and built new buildings, but that were still complementary to our old historic downtown buildings. And really, we really have an incredible city in Wisconsin, and a lot of that has to do with those historic tax credits. I've heard from people who would like to take advantage of them for other projects, and those are used for buildings that often sit empty for, I think the average was like 16 years, some of these buildings have just sat empty. And to be able to fix those up, keep that historic part of our state, and then get new thriving businesses in there, and also housing. They've been very effective. The payoff has been good on those. So I was disappointed to see those capped.
Representative Doyle, was there, a veto made by Governor Walker that you were disappointed about?
Well, there were a number of them, but one that people will probably kind of think is odd when I mention it. The governor transferred some new money for the state car-killed deer removal program. I hear that from people all the time, and I drive back and forth between La Crosse and Madison a lot, and I see a lot of deer carcasses along the way. And my office gets calls all the time, why aren't we picking up deer carcasses? Well, the legislature was trying to solve that problem, and the governor vetoed it. And what our local highway people are now saying is that what they're being told is just drag the deer carcass off to the side of the road, because we don't have any place to put them. We don't have any funds to dispose of them. So, Representative Billings talked about how important tourism is to, the state and our area of the state. Do we really want people to be driving along our roads and that's the first thing they see is dead deer all along the way? I mean, it's not the biggest thing in the world, but it's one of those things like, dang it, we're paying tax dollars. Can't we at least deal with that issue? It's not a lot of money. Can't we at least deal with it?
That's a really interesting issue. I mean, it's one of those, I think, practical things that maybe doesn't get a lot of, airtime when you talk about the budget. Are there other examples of stuff like that?
Well, there's a lot of little things that, people don't necessarily notice because it's not a high profile thing, like aid to rural schools, for example. You know, in northern Wisconsin, for example, a lot of the schools are talking about merger and closing down. And, you know, that's a community's lifeblood. You know, so you might not think that, you know, a few dollars in sparsity aid or rural school assistance is going to make a whole lot of difference. But when your school leaves town and now you're combined with two or three other school districts, you lose your heart and soul. You know, so that's the kind of thing where, again, it wasn't a whole lot of money that was vetoed, but it's money that really would have made a big difference.
I'm glad you brought up K-12 schools, because that's obviously another issue that was big in this year's budget. And the budget had an increase of funding for K-12 schools of about $639 million. Representative Billings, I wonder if we're going to see any of the benefits of increasing that funding in our area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was happy to see that there was some more funding for school, and I know that our local schools were happy to see that. They would have liked to have seen it a little earlier so that they didn't have to start school with the budget still uncertain. It was a late budget this year. But there was some more funding, and that was good. But the problem is that it really doesn't get us back to where our schools were a decade ago. Schools have lost $1 billion in state aid under the Republican majority. And so when this budget came out, some people kind of cynically looked at it and chuckled and said, well, we can tell it's an election year because Governor Walker has finally looked toward K-12 and given some funding, but it really doesn't make up for what has been lost over the last decade.
Representative Doyle, I wonder what your thoughts are on, if we're going to see any of the benefits of this increase in funding for K-12 schools.
Well, clearly it's going to be money well spent. It's an investment, as I had mentioned earlier. But, you know, in the past few years, we've seen a record number of referendum questions being presented by local school boards to increase funding to replace what the state had taken away. And when you think about a referendum, a school district referendum, you're asking the voters to approve raising their local property taxes. So instead of the money coming from the state through income tax and sales tax and everything else, this is money that's going to come directly on the back of the property taxpayer. And we've had record numbers of people saying, yes, I'm willing to increase my property taxes to make up for what the state isn't giving us. That's just really sad. And so I'm hoping that we'll see fewer of those referendums as a result of that, where, you know, the school district can count on having a steady stream of money that, you know, they can do their planning. In my district, for example, Onalaska was holding off on hiring some needed teachers because they weren't sure what was going to happen in the budget. That's not a good way to run a school when everything is deferred and you're making last-minute decisions on staffing. You're making Band-Aid type of decisions on capital improvements, replacing roofs and things like that. So I'm hoping that we're getting out of management by crisis at the K-12 level and into a more sustainable type of approach for educating our kids.
Speaking of referendums, one of the changes that came out of the budget was that school districts are now limited to only having referendums during regularly scheduled primary and general elections. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about your thoughts are on this change.
Well, nobody knows local government or local issues like local government. So if the people of School District X on their school board feel that they need a referendum and maybe they need it quickly to deal with a particular issue, I think that, you know, the issue of local control really is important here. And so that school board should be entitled to, you know, do what they think is in the best interest. This is a question posed to the voters. And, you know, if people feel strongly about it, they're going to show up, whether it's a regularly scheduled election day or not a regularly scheduled election day. And, you know, it used to be that both parties campaigned on being the party of local control, and we've definitely seen a lack of local control in recent years under the Walker administration. I trust the people that I run into at the post office and the grocery store and downtown to make the decisions at the school board level and at other local government level that's in the best interest of the people that they represent. I don't think we need people from Madison saying, you have to do it this way and we're going to put all these restrictions on you.
Representative Billings, what are your thoughts on this change to how school districts can have referendums?
Again, I see this as a local control issue, and this is one of a few different issues in the budget that really takes local control away from people who are the most immediate of government officials. I mean, they're the town boards, county, city. Having served on the county board, I was frustrated at the time with some issues where I felt like we know best. We know what's going on in our county, and you know, state government, you know, stop telling us what to do or taking away our control. There was a provision that was tucked in the budget at the very last minute about quarries and who can have oversight over quarries and siting of quarries and rules about quarries, and that was taken out, luckily. But that was another example of how sometimes I think when you're a party who has all the marbles for too long, you start forgetting about the people that you represent, and you want to kind of micromanage and control things, and you don't have faith in the people who are in local government, those first ears of the public, and I think that's an unfortunate place where we're at now.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the local impacts of the next state budget. Earlier in the show, we heard from Republican Representative Craig Pronchinsky. We're here now with local Democratic Representative Jill Billings and Representative Steve Doyle. You know, we're talking about changes for K-12 schools in this budget. And, you know, one issue that was brought up was the elimination of professional development requirements for teachers, which basically kind of creates a lifetime education license. Representative Billing, do you feel like this was a good change?
Well, I have mixed feelings on this. I have some friends who are teachers, and after they've been in the field for so many decades, I know that sometimes they were frustrated. But I also think it's good in a profession to kind of have refreshers and updates on what's happening that's new out there. So, you know, that was something that I kind of had mixed feelings about in the budget. What was more worrisome to me than that was the fact that the Republicans expanded voucher school programs yet once again, and that siphons off funding from our public school system and gives it to the private voucher schools, which it makes it difficult because I don't think we can afford to support two school districts at the same time. So I see that as a problem, that expansion, and I'm guessing if the Republicans are still in control, that will happen again in our next budget. There's this constant push to siphon more money from public schools to private voucher schools. And in my district, as in most districts, you know, most of those kids were already going to those schools. Their parents were paying for those schools. So this idea that it offers parents choice and for people should be able to choose between both school districts, it's not really borne out.
Representative Doyle, I know that you have also spoken about the voucher school system. I wonder what your thoughts are on this latest item for that system in the budget.
I agree. We can't afford to fund two educational systems. You know, I always like to tell people, my parents went to Catholic school, I went to Catholic school, our daughters went to Catholic school, and we never expected anybody to pay. In fact, I worked my way through high school and paid my own tuition, and that's how it should be. Expensive as it is, education is the backbone of our society, and we really can't take away from, you know, the main entity providing that service to spread that around. You know, for example, let's say that, you know, I had my own private security guard. Should I stop paying for the sheriff's department and the local police department? You know, if I wanted to haul my own garbage out to the landfill, should I stop paying for, you know, the waste haulers that are, you know, operating in my community? And on and on and on. You know, if there's some roads I don't travel, why am I paying for them? You know, so when we look at what the main function is of our government, I think at the state and local level, that main function really is education. And when you have a core function like that, that should be what you focus on. And so you shouldn't take some of the money for that and give it elsewhere really turn into the predictability. So we take money away from public education, and then we say, well, gee, public education isn't doing so well, so we need to give money to the voucher schools. And it just bleeds and bleeds and bleeds. And, of course, then it's that self-fulfilling prophecy that no wonder schools aren't doing as well because we've taken all the money away from them. So I'm very strongly opposed to the further expansion of the voucher program. I mean, it is where it is right now. I just hope that we don't continue to expand that. It's going to come at the cost of our public education.
I want to return to the issue of eliminating professional development requirements for teachers. Mm-hmm. Representative Doyle, do you feel like there was enough conversation with education professionals on this issue before the legislature made this decision?
I really don't think that there was. That was one of those issues that didn't get a whole lot of attention before it suddenly showed up in the budget, and it is what it is. Teaching is a profession. I'm in my other life, I'm a lawyer, a profession where I'm expected to do a certain amount of continuing education. Accountants have to do that. Doctors have to do that. There's nothing that's a more important calling, in my opinion, than being a teacher. So we have people who are educating our children and making them into good citizens, making them into people who can get jobs, who can be a productive member of society. And we're saying, well, your role is just static. Once you've learned how to teach math or teach reading or social studies, don't worry about things ever changing and needing to keep up on not just more information, but different teaching methods. That to me just doesn't make any sense. And it's part of that same mentality where in the last session we saw the move to make it easier to get into the profession. So, if I've been doing a particular profession now, that automatically qualifies me to teach whatever that particular subject is. Rather than learning about teaching methods, you simply have to know the subject matter and that's the end of the story. I just think that what we're doing is cheapening, in a bad sense, education. And I think that's a road we don't want to go down.
Representative Billings, was there anything in the realm of K-12 education that didn't make it into the budget that you feel like should have been there?
Well, I would like to see some more funding. I feel especially for the rural areas and areas up north where there was originally going to be some extra funding for some of those areas that are losing population and their kids are taking bus rides long distances and they don't have the efficiency of larger numbers to make their budgets work. I was on the summer study committee for SAGE funding in schools and heard a lot from people up north and some of the struggles that they have. So I was disappointed that the governor took some of that funding away for rural schools up north.
And Representative Doyle, same question for you. I mean, do you feel like there was anything missing for K-12 education?
I think there were some good initiatives that I wish had even been bigger, and I hope that they will continue. For example, there was $1.4 million put in the budget for what are called fab labs, fabrication labs, where in our high schools, students are learning high-tech skills that they can immediately transfer into a job after school. I think that's really neat, that connection between the business world, the manufacturing world, and our K-12 institutions. I think that really is the future of education, is those connections that are so valuable. So I'd like to see us do more of that. West Salem has a great program. Some of our other local school districts have great programs in that regard. And they really, I think, pay dividends in both the long and short term.
That's Representative Steve Doyle from Onalaska here with us today to talk about the positives and the negatives of the recently signed biennial budget for Wisconsin and how the Cooley region will be affected by the state's new spending plan. Earlier in the show, we heard from Republican Representative Craig Pronchinsky. Joining us in studio now also is Representative Jill Billings from La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. There were a few earmarks in the state budget that affect this region, and specifically $5 million for the La Crosse Center expansion and renovation. I know, Representative Billings, you mentioned this earlier, but can you talk a little bit more about, you know, why this is a win for La Crosse?
Well, the La Crosse Center is certainly one of our economic engines in the area. A lot of people come to La Crosse, whether it's for concerts or I was there when the governor announced that he was going to include the $5 million in his budget, and there was a darts tournament going on, there was a wedding going on, they were getting ready for a monster truck rally. I mean, there's a lot happening down there, and it just feeds businesses downtown, it feeds our hotels, it makes us really a destination. And we're hoping that with the expansion, we can draw even more into the state, especially from Minnesota and Iowa. You know, rather than competing with the rest of Wisconsin, I'd like to pull in those dollars from other states. So I was excited to see that $5 million was included. I would have liked, I think we asked for 12, but with the tight budget, I was happy to have $5 million.
Yeah, Representative Doyle, what are your thoughts on what this project means for our region?
You know, a few years ago, the school officials came to the county board when I was county board chair and asked us for money to assist UWL in renovating its track. And the argument was made, you know, people come to our community and they see what a wonderful place it is, and they decide they're going to send their kids here, they're going to maybe relocate here, open a business here. Same thing with the La Crosse Center. People come to a convention and they look at, like, wow, what a beautiful river, what beautiful bluffs, what nice people. And they decide they're going to come back, you know, whether it's permanently or simply to visit. You know, if you take a drive through downtown these days and you look at all the new buildings and all the new hotels and hotel rooms that that we have there, that says that this is a community on the move. And we want to continue that. We don't want the weak link in the chain to be the La Crosse Center. So I think it's great that that money was put in there. I think that that's going to pay dividends over and over.
Representative Billings, were there any other earmarks or special projects that you think could maybe benefit La Crosse?
I know of one that I had a lot of questions about, and that was an earmark that was given to Republican, a person who donated lots of money to Republicans, and it funded a tiny airport near Wausau for a golf course. So people could fly their private jets in and out more easily to golf at this luxury golf resort. Now, I was disappointed in that funding because there was a school that closed, an elementary school that closed outside of Mount Horeb. With a $4 million, we could have kept an elementary school open. So I know that budgets are about priorities, and that was something that was really disappointed with for me, especially when you looked at the blatant donations to campaigns that happened right before that vote took, or right before that was added into the budget. It was something that I don't know that we see very often in our budgets. It was kind of a new one that really struck me as beyond the pale.
One issue that didn't seem to be talked about or a huge part of the budget was the UW system. And I wonder if Representative Doyle, if there were any, you know, good, you know, positives or negatives for the UW system, or if, you know, if this maybe wasn't a big year for that.
Well, I think the UW system was kind of grateful that they somewhat flew under the radar and weren't the lightning rod that they had been in the previous budget. So, you know, got a little bit more money, a little bit more flexibility. There are some concerns that, you know, people have expressed that I agree with. One is, you know, how long a tuition freeze is sustainable. We saw in the last year or two, for example, some of our schools and our programs in the U.S. News rankings start to drop a little bit. That's not a good direction to go, obviously. I mean, when you look at the economic engine of our state is our university system in terms of research and development programs in particular. You know, so I'm concerned that we're not giving enough attention to the UW system and the tech school system, too, for that matter. The provision in the budget that says that chancellors and the UW president have to have come out of academia cannot be restricted to only coming out from academia. I see pros and cons to that. It got some attention, but then our UW official said, well, you know, we have the ability to hire people from outside of academia anyway. So it really seemed to be much ado about nothing in that regard. Although, again, it's telling the Board of Regents how to do their job. You know, we're generalists. The governor is a generalist. Let the people who are in charge of these different things make the decisions in that regard.
Representative Billings, I wonder what your thoughts are on things that, you know, didn't happen or did happen for the UW system in this budget.
Well, I believe that the state should fund any tuition freezes. I think the university system is really left strapped with year after year after year of unfunded tuition freeze. The other concern I had with the university system was more micromanaging of the system and looking at teacher workload requirements. And, you know, I think that sometimes as legislators want to come in with a little bit of information and micromanage things where, you know, we don't always know best. So I look at what I see happening on our campus and, you know, how do you look at a professor's research and take that into account? I mean, I don't think that we're being sophisticated enough at looking at what happens on our campuses. Research is huge. How about the arts? How about let's look at what happens with our theater department, where I've seen the amount of time that's put in at a costume shop or in rehearsals for plays. And, you know, how do you equate that to classroom time, what happens in the classroom? Clearly, that's very important stuff, set design, costume design, what you're teaching students there, what's happening on the stage prepping for a play. How do you take that into account? Getting ready for students' final projects, senior projects. Now, that's time outside the classroom, and I know a lot of professors give a lot of time to that. How do you keep that into account? How about labs, stuff that's done in science departments? I mean, I know that there is a lot that professors do that can't easily put into that little bottle of, okay, this is a time that you're in the classroom with students. And I think most students, they remember when they leave a university, what they remember most are those professors and the experiences that they had with them. And they take that with them. And that leads to their satisfaction with university and their educational experience. So I think it's more complicated than we sometimes think it should be.
Really briefly, as we wrap up, I just wanted to ask, you know, Foxconn negotiations and the incentive plan that was approved was a big part of the conversations that were happening in the legislature during this whole budget process. Representative Billings, do you think we're going to see any benefits in our area from what happened with Foxconn?
Well, first we'll have to see if the deal comes through. So there was a memorandum of understanding that was signed, and then the legislature sort of put the framework around it. And now the details of the contract will be figured out between Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and Foxconn. I hope that there's some benefit to our area. I think the problem with the Foxconn deal is it was a lot of money, and there was a lot of uncertainty. As we, as a Democratic caucus, talked with our Legislative Fiscal Bureau, our nonpartisan group that does work for, that's well-respected and does work for both sides of the aisle. As we talked with them, the phrase that kept coming up was, well, that's uncertain, well, that's uncertain, and well, that's uncertain. So I see a lot of uncertainty here. But, you know, I hope if it comes to fruition, I hope that things go well. And I hope that our area can benefit too. I do have some concerns that all eyes will be on Foxconn and all funds for workforce training and for other things. But when you think about how we need healthcare workers in our area, how we need workers to work in manufacturing for firms in our area, I have concerns about how that is all going to play out in the state of Wisconsin.
Representative Doyle, your thoughts very briefly on the Foxconn and how it could impact our area.
Well, I hope that we do have a positive impact, but I'm really concerned at what price and if there was a better way to spend the money. You know, it's come out recently that our offer to Foxconn was about 3 times what any other state did. I mean, are we that bad of a place that we were that desperate to you know, bribe them to come to our state? I think we could have done a better deal. I'm really concerned about $200 million per year for 25 years that could go to schools and transportation and everything else that is, you know, is going to Foxconn with really not any hard and fast guarantees of jobs being created. So I was real skeptical. I was open-minded. I hope that we would have gotten a good deal. In the end, I just don't think that we negotiated very well.
We've been talking with State Representative Steve Doyle and State Representative Jill Billings about the recently signed biennial budget and how local Republicans and Democrats think the Cooley region will be impacted by the state spending plan. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, including our interview with Representative Treg Pronchinsky, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.